flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Folks are starting to fill in here. I saw Kay Adams. Every time I've seen Kay Adams, I'm struck. That's a small woman.
Yeah, she is small. She's beautiful. Why is my phone ringing from landfill?
Because he probably wanted us back on the air. I'm going to call it a hunch. Joining us right now via the Rude Guest Hotline, because I don't see him in person, is Mr. Logan Paulson. Logan, what up, man? Where are you?
Where am I? I'm in my house right now. What are you up to?
I thought you'd be at the Super Bowl, man. Making content.
Oh yeah,
He did a week of content.
Really fancy people out there. I just hang out in Washington, do the show. I got a show. I'll probably see you in a little bit. Actually, I'm coming to the studio, so see how
okay.
You then.
Well, we're in New Orleans.
Yeah, you won't see us.
Dang, I didn't realize you're that big time.
B. Mitch is.
Hey, no.
It's not just beautiful people because they sent Denton down here and he's wearing homemade jean shorts. So like, they'll let anybody in, dude. I definitely want to talk about your trip to Mobile. There are a few people better equipped to go on like a serious scouting trip like that. B and I really believe Washington needs to fortify the offensive and defensive lines in this draft cycle. What did you see in Mobile? What stood out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're looking to fortify the defensive line specifically, like, this is the year to do it, man. There's just a lot of really uber-talented guys, and a lot of guys that, like, when you look through the measurement list that comes out for the Senior Bowl, that just have it, right? They're just tall, long, athletic guys that have a ton of position flexibility. Jared Ivey from Ole Miss is a guy. He's 6'5 and 3'8". He's 283 pounds. He's got 33 and three-quarter inch arms. He can play defensive tackle. He can play defensive end. And when I think about scheme flexibility for the Washington Commanders, he's definitely a guy that fits that mold. Xavion Jones, same thing from LSU. Shamir Stewart from Texas A&M was an absolute freak at the Senior Bowl. I thought he would be there when the Washington was picking at 29, but obviously now, like, he's kind of played himself into probably a top 20 pick. So those are just a couple names, but there's a lot of really talented edge rushers. Offensive line, I think, is interesting. I think there's guys that have physical traits, size, speed, athleticism for offensive linemen, but they're kind of developmental guys. You know, if you're looking for a guy that really kind of won the Senior Bowl week, it's Gray Zabbitt from North Dakota State. He played left tackle in college. He moved inside. He's a guy that just is going to be like the next great offensive lineman out of NDSU. And again, a guy I thought that was going to be there kind of in the late half of the first round, but after a really solid Senior Bowl week, probably bumps up. But again, there's a bunch of guys like Anthony Belton from NC State. He's 6'6". He's 350. He's got 34.5-inch arms. He moves people off the spot. Really, really, really raw. But a guy that maybe in the bottom half of the second you draft for some depth, can play guard, can play tackle. So there's a lot of people that are really, really talented. But again, different type of skill, right? Last year there were all these like top guys that were going to be kind of generational prospects at the offensive line position. This year, a little different construct comparatively.
So do you think they can do that in the draft, or do they have to go and get somebody in free agency to make sure they are fortified? Because offensive line, defensive line are going to take you where you need to go, point blank.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think you just look at Philly, you look at Kansas City, you look at Detroit, look at Baltimore. Like, they're built in that way, and I think Washington should follow that model because that seems to be the model for success for sure. So what I would say is, like, if you're looking for defensive linemen, yes, draft away. Probably draft two of them. Like, it's going to be a really good opportunity to find some hyper-talented guys that are going to make your team a whole lot better. I think with regards to offensive line, it's going to be, you got to be a little bit more selective. You got to kind of say, we like this mold, we like this athlete, and we trust our staff that they're going to develop him. We got a bunch of guys like Wyatt Millam from West Virginia. He's moving from tackle to guard, struggled a little bit at the Senior Bowl, but again, a guy that has tremendous athletic upside, but is going to need some time to grow. So I think there's a lot of guys like that that kind of check the box physically, athletically, but technically still need some work to do. And so if you trust the offensive line coach here to get that done, I do think there's opportunities, but I think you just need to be a little bit more selective than you would with the defensive line in this draft class, which to me, there's so many guys on the defensive line that can impact your roster. You know, you could probably find a guy on day three if you were really looking hard for it.
So, Logan, one thing that's interesting is, especially on the offensive line, people are like, oh, well, who are you replacing? And it doesn't necessarily mean that because you're trying to just get depth going.
Yeah.
Even if perhaps there are changes coming. Like, if you just look at contract structures, Wiley's going into a year with no guarantees on there, things like that, right? But it was funny. I talked to Chiefs offensive line coach Andy Heck last night, and he's a D.C. guy, played for the Skins, grew up in Fairfax. So, like, we talk to him seemingly every year. But last night, he openly brought up to me how much he enjoyed watching Wiley and Allegretti, like his guys that got this bigger opportunity. How much overhaul do you think the offensive line needs? Because defensively, we know it's coming just based on the one-year nature of a lot of those guys' contracts. But offensively, it's a little more interesting.
Yeah, it is more interesting, and I like the way you worded that there. It's not so much that you need to replace somebody. I think you just want to cultivate a more competitive environment. Just get guys who are more talented, kind of fit the height, weight, speed measurables a little bit more, a little bit more size, a little bit more physicality. And again, that's not a knock on what the guys did this last year. I just think when you look at the standard, when I look at Philly, when I look at Detroit, like,
totally,
they've got five dudes out there that are big, strong, and fast and smart football players. And I do think that this group this year for Washington did a tremendous job, man. And I understand why fans don't want to replace them, but you can't think of it like a fan. You got to think of it like a GM. Like, I want what's best for the roster. And getting more talented, getting more physicality in that group, I think is probably long-term the direction you want to go. So that's where I'd say, yes, like, you might not be finding a one replacement, but I want to get a little bit more athletic. I want to get a little bit bigger. I want to get a little bit tougher. And that's how you do it. And that's how you continue to cultivate good groups, is never being contented with what's there, but rather always kind of hunting for that extra inch to get you over the hump, right? Because, again, if Washington wants to win a Super Bowl, you got to beat these teams with, you know, the Joneses, the Carters, you know, these tremendous defensive linemen that are really, really disruptive. So that's kind of what you got to be looking at in terms of goalposts.
I think when we were, I don't know if you were on the team at that time, we were in Richmond, and the New England Patriots got off the bus. And everybody was like, whoa, that's what a team's supposed to look like. That's how it looks when you look at Philadelphia Eagles line and you look at their defensive line. And I think you got to get to that point where when your guys get off the bus, they put fear in people's heart too. You know, we can – people get replaced in the NFL every year. I don't know many people that have the same offensive line for 10, 15 years. So it
10,
happens.
15 games.
Yeah, it happens. So I think fans got to realize this is not about, oh, the person's going to – free agency means you're not going to be in the same team for the rest of your life.
Well, dude,
doesn't happen.
Going one step further, Logan, I don't know if you'll agree with this. Talking with our friend Logan Paulson, a ton of Commanders content. Check him out at LoganPaulson82 on Instagram. Did I get that close to right?
I guess, I don't even know what it is anymore. Logan Paulson, Logan_Paulson, Logan_Paulson82. There we go.
Logan_Paulson82, and check out all his content on the Commanders website, the Take Command website with our boy Hoffman via Odyssey. But, dude, not to give away state secrets, right? But during the Ron era, there was real dissension within that front office on some of the philosophical decision-making as it related to size, where they would eschew. I mean, the easiest thing to point to, and I know there was a screaming match on draft day about the Forbes decision when Gonzalez was there. They're like, yo, this dude has prototype size, speed, every measurable you have. And then you look at a lot of the decisions during that Ron era, it seemed like they were not scared to move away from what you would want size, speed. Just looking at the people Peters and Quinn brought in through the season, especially like kind of the, I don't want to say bottom of roster, but like the guys that are coming in, practice squad, getting elevated, guys that are getting released over the course of the season, size, physical size, especially on the O and D line, seemed like it was absolutely a priority. Did you notice that as well? And did you kind of notice how the Rivera group did not maybe quantify or seek that out as much?
I definitely did see, specifically with regards to the offensive line, there definitely seemed to be a push to bring in a specific type of body type. You know,
massive.
I mean, Darkwa from Howard was the biggest offensive lineman in last year's draft. He was a rookie. They brought him into practice squad. Hunt, he's like a 340-pound guard-tackle hybrid, right? Like, they have a type of person that they're looking for there. And, again, when you are there, there's advantages to big people. There's advantages to small people. Ultimately, you got to play football. But I do think, to your point about the Ron Rivera staff, like, there is a reason there are thresholds for positions. There's reasons that offensive linemen have 34-inch arms. There's a reason that they tend to be 6'4 to 6'6. Like, there's reasons for that. That, again, because, like, when you look at when you're looking at, like, kind of the statistical
outliers,
probability of you making it at the position, those measurements are relevant. So I do think that that's something that I think the Washington Commanders currently have a style, a type of player, a type of body type that they're looking at, high physical upside. But I also think the Rivera staff, they kind of just ignored some of that stuff in favor of good football players. Now, I'm never going to tell you not to take a good football player because of size. I think Mike Sanders still is a perfect example of that. Great leadership, tough competitor. But I do think, like, you got to consider, like, what you're getting and whether that player has the ability to overcome physical limitations that other people have at the positions. I think the Forbes Gonzalez example is a really, really good one there.
But I think Mikey
there's always outliers.
Mikey
too,
played
right?
a position where you can be that size and be great at it, you know. And he was super intelligent, so it works. Some of these other positions, you better not be that little bitty old dude trying to go play against some big those mammoths.
Right. There's always going to be outliers, but it seemed like the Ron era was about proving how much smarter they were than everyone, and they sought out outliers. That's, like, generally not how it works. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Generally not how it works. I mean, historically not how it works. Like, look at Mike
right.
Mayock and what he did in Las Vegas, you know, when he was there with Gruden. Like, they were always kind of going against statistically what people were kind of projecting them to do, and it never really worked out. Like, there's a reason there's, like, a draft consensus. There's a reason there's a big board. There's a reason you have scouts. There's a reason you go through this whole process, is to mitigate risk. And I feel like when you kind of bet on traits and bet on qualities, you're mitigating risk. And Mike Sanders is an interesting example, because even though physically he didn't admit it, like, his movement skills are off the chart, his intelligence is off the chart, his compete and his toughness are off the chart. And those, you know, in terms of categories, are just as important. So,
yeah. Last thing, because I know we got to let you go. But what do you think of the backs in Mobile? I think running back in the draft is going to be a sneaky priority. Everybody's focused on receiver, understandably. There's two under contract. But what do you think of the backs?
Yeah, I mean, I thought all the backs actually were really impressive, just in terms of how they kind of encapsulate what it means to be a modern back. You got Harvey from, where's he from? UNC, I want to say. And then you got Etienne from Georgia, guys that can catch the ball well. They've got quick feet. Not the biggest guys in the world, but I think that's the fun thing about this year's draft class, is you got a bunch of guys like Martinez from Miami. He's 235 pounds. He's a big bruiser. He's 6'3 and a half. Like, they've got your style of back, what you're looking for. It's here. This is a very, very deep running back draft class. There's probably, just from what I've been reading, probably about 20 to 25 guys that are going to get drafted this year playing running back, which is very, very unusual. And so, like, whatever you're looking for, man, all these guys are good football players. They catch the ball well. They run hard. They've got good vision. You know, there's warts on all of them, but I do think if you are looking for something of value in this draft, we talked about defensive line already, the running backs and the tight ends actually are positions where you're going to get great value, a really, really competitive football player. Probably in some cases on day three. So in terms of players I expect them to draft, running back is 100% one of them, partially because of the value there. It's not necessarily an indictment of the guys that were here, but I think there's just such good value there. I think it would be kind of foolish to pass up on one of those guys.
Now I can update this list. It's my list. I'm free to update, and I will after Indy once we go to the combine. But currently top of my draft crush list is the kid Restrepo out of Miami. Did you watch him at all?
Yeah, no, I think he's
Logan
Xavier
just laughing
Restrepo.
Laughing
he's
at my crush list.
That's Tanner's boy.
Oh, is he? He's tough, dude. I just love toughness in small guys like that that can play really – like, you described Zach Ertz route running so beautifully last summer when they signed him and we got to start watching him. Restrepo seems like a slot guy that runs routes like that. And obviously, he doesn't have the body control that Ertz has because Ertz is a freaking block of granite. But I just think that kid's going to help an NFL team.
No, I would 100% agree with that. The way Restrepo runs routes, he reminds me a little bit of Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's like 5'9", he's 200 pounds, a little stockier slot guy, but he's got great short area quickness. He's got a great feel for the speed cut, great feel for zones. He understands how to win versus man-to-man coverage. He's playing a ton of football, and I definitely agree with you. I think he's a guy that's going to make some team very happy, probably a full-time slot guy, but you need that role, especially in an offense like the one Cliff runs.
Logan, thank you, man. Go lift some weights. It's probably been like 30 minutes since you've done something active.
He loves it.
All right, yeah, thanks, guys. Have fun down there in New Orleans. Don't get hurt, okay?
All right, man.
That's our guy. I think the don't get hurt was directed to me, probably not to you.
Nah, not to me.
That's our guy, Logan Paulson. Check him out somewhere on Instagram. None of us are quite able to locate what his Instagram name is. We think it was Logan_Paulson82.
Paulson.
Yeah, just find him.
And just look for his picture.
He's searchable.
That's the way I look at it.
Great, great football content.